Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this hot service on this holiday weekend. I hope everybody has stayed cool and enjoyed celebrating our country's 250th birthday, and that it's been safe and cool for you. Like I said, welcome to everyone here, everyone that's online, and we are blessed that you're worshiping with us today as we include our children and young people, and our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith in action. If you look for your announcements on the back, the 15th of July, which is a Wednesday at 7 p.m., there will be a church-wide prayer gathering, and we hope that you will join us either in person or online for that. And the chapel chatter is going to be delayed a week as complications with work schedules and so forth. Journey is going to meet the last Sunday in this month. That's the 26th, and I think they're going to be having a family picnic or something like that. Okay. Acolyte training, if you want to do that, that will be fine. And talk to Pastor Edgar. And we see that the churches in the North Carolina Conference have raised $221,335.74 for the Miracle Sunday offering. I think Pastor Edgar is going to attend a revival wrap-up meeting on the 6th, which is tomorrow, and then his schedule will be with the Bethel churches and our church, followed next Sunday by Awakenings and the church school and Sunday worship. So does anybody have any additions to the announcements? Okay, we will continue with our call to worship. We gather this day to worship.
But we bring with us heavy burdens which weigh us down.
We gather this day to praise God.
But our hearts ache inside us, and we feel we can go no further.
Come all who are burdened and who feel weighed down, come to Jesus.
Lord Jesus, take our burdens and heal our spirits.
Amen. And now if you will join us in the opening prayer. Lord of peace and hope, we open our hearts to you this day. Be with us as we hear your words of inspiration and healing. Guide our hearts and spirits as we seek to be witnesses to your redeeming and reconciling love. In Jesus' name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Will you join us in the gathering hymn, Stand as You Are Able, God of Grace and God of Glory, found on page 577 in your Methodist hymnal.
Thank you.
Let us remain standing as we affirm our faith as found in our bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may all be seated. Good morning, church. I think we can do a little better than that. Good morning, church. We give thanks to God for this beautiful day that the Lord had given to us. Welcome, and we welcome those of you that are able to join with us online. Thank you, Ms. Darlene, for your leadership for our worship this morning. Yesterday, the entire nation gathered together to celebrate the birth of our nation. And I shared this at the Awakening and also at Bethel Church. And I thought of asking this question as well. What is the meaning for us when we celebrate 250 years of our birth of our nation? What does it mean for us? Freedom. Someone just said that at the Bethel Church this morning. Thank you, Jamie. Freedom.
It made 64 guys risk execution to get things started.
Thank you for that piece of history, Scott. The brave and the courageous 64 men who help us craft the, what would have been the Declaration of Independence? Yes, Miss. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Beth. Keeping it united together means a lot. It is a blessing to always remind ourselves that there are others who may not have that kind of freedom to worship. They are under extreme pressure. I know in Middle East, there are still parts in Middle East that are you're not even allowed to pray in public. You're not allowed to bring your Bible with you. You're not allowed to say Jesus in the public. But here in America, we have that freedom.
I think we should be grateful to the people throughout the ages who have fought for our freedom and to keep it and to preserve it. Yes. I think that's one thing we should be grateful for, the ones who have kept this country going by defending it.
One veteran was very emotional at Bethel when he shared the same thoughts from you, Miss Darlene, about the sacrifices of those men and women in uniform, because he himself was a veteran, and how how difficult it was. And he said these words that they were my brothers. It's like he's saying about the platoon, I guess, that he was a part of in the military, and how they were all like one family. Our freedom came with a heavy cost, as we all know it. It took a lot of lives, a lot of sacrifices, a lot of valor and courage and braveness for those who kept this freedom alive right now. And we owe this from our men and women in uniform, for those who are out there still defending our country. Any other thoughts about our 250th birthday as a country, as America? Fifteen years ago, I was reminded of my own kind of little story about this. When Judy and I drove in Raleigh 15 years ago, we attended our oath-taking ceremony as newly minted U.S. citizen. And it came with great joy and thanksgiving to God, because it took us 10 years to journey and to find out what it means to be an American. And one of the person that is in charge of our oath-taking said, and I would never forget this, Americans are not just what it means to be an American is not just about your culture. It's not just about your culture or your color or your background. It's the values. It is the values that you advocate. The values of freedom. The values of equality. The values of opportunities. That all may succeed here in America. As long as you do your part, you will be able to be able to have this fullness of life. And I've been reminded of the history of Plank Chapel, that the founding of this nation is also intertwined to the story of Plank Chapel Church, because 4 years after the Declaration of the Independence, our church was founded in 1780. Am I right, Scott? 1780. Our nation was founded in 1776, so it's only about 4 years difference. And that means a lot for us as people of God, knowing that our faith is intertwined in the journey of our nation's birth and how they come alongside with each other. As we continue on to be faithful, as we continue on to be fruitful, knowing that the Lord will continue to bless this church by the grace of God in the next 250 years. So as we come together, let's open also this time for any joys and concerns in our hearts this morning that you want to pray for. C.T. Thompson's baby. Thanks be to God. We will include this request in our list. Any other prayer concerns? I know there are people that are out of town right now, on the road. Last Monday, I had the chance to represent our church to a funeral service for one of the pastor's mother who passed away, Pastor Radford from Union Chapel Church. So our prayers are with their families in this time of loss and grief. Miss Martha Rowland also has been lifted up. We mentioned her this morning at the awakenings. I believe she had some health issues at the that brought her to the hospital, and she came back home. Thanks be to God for that. So we'll pray for her as well. Any other prayer concerns? Bryant has been lifted up as well. I'm going to depart from what's in the prayer list and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you first and foremost for the gift of freedom as our nation celebrated our 250th founding year of the Declaration of Independence. We thank you, God, for giving us this beautiful nation, this diverse nation that you have formed and continue on to unite ourselves, O God, with your love and with your mercy. We thank you, God, for all the men and women in uniform who sacrificed their lives so that we may enjoy this freedom. We are grateful for using America, Lord, in being a beacon of justice and peace and democracy throughout the world. And, oh God, as we come here, Lord, we celebrate that the history of our nation is interlinked or intertwined with the history of our church. We thank you for all those men and women that laid the foundation of birthing our own church here at Plank Chapel and becoming the light and salt of this community. We are grateful to you, O God, for your redeeming love for each one of us. And Father God, we confess that there have been times of doubt in our spirits. We confess that when the times of difficulties are upon us, we don't always believe that you will take care of our burdens. We feel we have to always be in control, trying to demand the desired outcome. Oh Lord, help us to place our trust in you. Remind us that you surround us continually with your care and that you never leave us or let us go to drift aimlessly about. Oh Lord, we raise up all the names that we mentioned here today and those that we hold in our hearts this morning. We pray for your church. Revive our hearts, revive our spirits. Draw us closer to you, Father God. And we pray for this church-wide prayer gathering on July 15th, that this will be a moment for us to unify ourselves, to strengthen one another, to bear one another's burden. Open our hearts and spirits again to your healing power. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who take our burdens and give us peace. And let us be continually in a silent moment of confession. Hear the good news, dear friends. Jesus releases us from our burdens. Place your whole trust in his love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Christ says to us, come to me, all of you who are weary and weighed down, and I will give you rest. Christ gave us rest and peace, and we are invited to share it with one another. So if you're able, I invite us all to, for you, either to stand or to shake hands or to greet one another and to extend our love and our peace of Christ to one another at this time. Well, this past week, we have experienced a heat wave. And I'm pretty sure that you hunkering your down yourselves. But just want to thank God for the cooling system we have. Amen? That we can have this air conditioning in our homes, the comforts. I'm sharing this because this all belongs to God who gives us the provision. So as we offer our tithes and offering to God, may we give with grateful hearts. Holy God, we are so blessed to live in a nation that is grounded on freedom, grounded on equality, grounded on respect and justice. We thank you for this freedom of worship. We thank you for this freedom to express our love to you by offering these tithes and offering. Accept this, O Father God. Bless all the people, the faithful members of this church who have given these gifts. Use this, O Lord, as we advance your kingdom. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing yet another hymn, number 707. Let us all be seated. As we prepare ourselves to hear the word of God this morning, please join with me for the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite us all to open on our scripture lesson this morning found on the Acts of the Apostle. As you all know, the Acts of the Apostle was written by Luke. So we're going to be read just the few verses on Acts chapter 4 in the last part of the chapter. And for those of you worshiping with us online, please also invite you also to open your scripture. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, beginning on the 23rd verse. After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestors David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their hearts and grant to your servant to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I prepared this message, I can't help but connect some of this with the yesterday's celebration of our 250th birthday as nation. 250 years since a bold and improbable beginning. Someone says America was a radical experiment, rooted in freedom, powered by ideas, and sustained by people willing to build something new together. I believe those 65 or 64 people that have framed what would have been now the Declaration of Independence all agreed that we are all in this together. We are all in this together. Isn't that what the people of God should be? This gift of togetherness, this gift of worshiping together, this gift of coming together, this gift of praying together. The togetherness holds an immense power. When we come together, when we worship together, when we pray together, when we stay together, something remarkable happens. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we create this unbreakable bond that transcends differences and ignites a collective strength that is within us, within families, within communities and neighborhood, within a nation, and as a world. When we tap into the collective strength of each one of us, we become stronger. We overcome challenges, and we're able to create a better community and a better world. That's why we are continuing this learning from the scripture about what it means to be better together. And this last week, we are focusing on praying together as we prepare ourselves for this church-wide prayer gathering. Last Sunday, we talked about the priority of praying together. So today, we're going to talk about the power of praying together. And we are diving in on Acts chapter 4, the text that we have read a while ago. It was a very pivotal moment in the early church. because the early church at that time is facing persecution, particularly Peter and John. So today's lesson highlights the courage of the apostles in the face of opposition and what it means to be the church, what it means to come together, what it means to commit ourselves to pray one another and to be together in the midst of suffering and challenges. So let us pray as we offer these prayers to God. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here in the middle of summer. We know that there are some that are not here today for a lot of different reasons. We also pray that you also give them your traveling mercies. We thank you, Lord, for those that are able to join with us online. And also we thank you, God, for those that are here in person. I pray now, Lord, that you will speak your word to us. Help me be out of the way, and may your word be magnified and be lifted up. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Acts, particularly on the fourth chapter, opens with confrontation. We see in the first part of Acts, Peter and John, they are now so much empowered by the Holy Spirit that they are out there having the courage and the boldness to proclaim Jesus' resurrection. So this came after the post-resurrection events. And because of this, it really rubs the elbows of those who are, I call it the antagonists in the Bible. We call them the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. And according to Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, he noted that the Sadducees in verse 2 of chapter 4, they were greatly annoyed. They were annoyed because of what Peter and John are doing. They are really putting their faith out there. And the central message is all about Jesus' resurrection. And because of that, the apostles were arrested. And they were held in prison overnight. And while is this happening, people are beginning to hear what Peter and John has been proclaiming, that Jesus rose from the grave and he is alive. And so many believe, and the number of men came to be about 5,000 according to the scriptures in Acts chapter 4 verse 4. So the church is growing. The Christians are adding up. Opposition does not slow the gospel. Instead, it becomes the stage where God's power is displayed more clearly. And then the following day, after Peter and John were incarcerated, they stood before the ruling council that included elders and scribes and priests. And I'm sure you all remember that this is the same people who plotted against Jesus. And these are the same council where Jesus stood and defended his own faith. So the council asked a direct question to Peter and John. By what power or by what name did you do this? In verse 7. And Peter, who was filled by the Holy Spirit, responded in verse 8 that the healing occurred by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom the leaders crucified and whom God raised. And we saw here that Peter actually quoted 118 Psalm by calling Jesus the rejected stone that became the cornerstone. He concluded his bold declaration by saying this on verse 12, that there is no salvation except from Jesus Christ. And at that moment, the council is stunned. They recognized Peter and John as uneducated. They knew them. They know their story. Yet they cannot deny the miracle. Because right there, according to the scripture, there was this healed man standing before them as the living evidence. And because of the facts were undeniable, the council tried to shift their tactics. So they commanded the apostle not to speak in the name of Jesus. They just said, well, when you leave out here, just don't speak about Jesus. And you know what? Peter and John respectfully responded, but firmly stated that they must obey God rather than man, which was recorded in verse 19. I'm laying this out to you all to see you, to invite you to just think the backdrop of where we are as we come in on verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. So here we are, Peter and John being released. And now in verse 23, the text that we began reading, they returned back to the people. They went back to their village. They went back to their community, according to Acts of the Apostle. And I think we should not discount the fact of the importance of that term, returning to their own people. Because what that means is the apostles did not isolate themselves after the conflict. They did not hunker down or scattered themselves in all different directions. They have acknowledged the importance of coming together. They acknowledged the importance of community, especially when they were under pressure from persecution. And this isn't some strange occurrence. It is the church being the church, being together and supporting one another. They knew that they can find the support that they need when they come back to their community of faith. This reminds us of what church is. That we should not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another as often as we can, as what Hebrews chapter 3 says. When facing opposition and pressure for our faith, or when we are discouraged, we should resist the urge to withdraw or to isolate ourselves and instead lean on the community of believers. Lean on to the church. Lean on to fellow believers who shared openly their own struggles so that we can bear one another's burdens and pray with one another. And that's exactly what Peter and John did. And isn't that the model of what church should be today? To lean on to the community of believers who will be there to support you and to encourage you when things are not going your way. And prayer actually is exactly what the Church of Acts did. When Peter and John came together, according to the scripture, they went straight to God, according to the scripture, and they prayed together. And notice here how the prayer begins. They begin with worship. In verse 24, you will see here the believers address God as what? Sovereign Lord, acknowledging Him as creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. In other words, before they ask for help, Peter and John first acknowledge and affirm the sovereignty of God, the God who is in control over all histories and events. Their confidence rests in who God is, not on any improved circumstances, much as they wanted. But they did not begin their prayer with that. Rather, they began their prayer with acknowledging the goodness of God, acknowledging the God who is faithful, the God who has always been there with them. I wonder whether that is our posture whenever we pray. I wonder whether we begin our prayer first by saying, Almighty God, I just want to thank you for who you are and for your faithfulness and fruitfulness in my life. Lord, I want to thank you because you are the one who created everything. And you know what's going on in my life. This is sort of like the paraphrase of prayer of Peter and John. They didn't start with what went on with them when they were harassed or intimidated by the council. They didn't make the list of all those litany. Instead, they just acknowledged first who God is. I think that's a great reminder for you and me that we should first acknowledge the God who is sovereign God and acknowledge His name. But after that, we notice here on verses 25 to 27, after Peter and John mentioned that, they begin to have a prayer acknowledging the reality of their struggles. They even quoted Psalm chapter 2, which speaks of rulers opposing the Lord and His anointed. And this does not surprise God, because it fulfills what the scripture already been revealed, that those who are doing the work of the Lord will suffer, just like what Jesus experienced. And then after they prayed and acknowledging the struggles that they, the Church of Acts are facing, they prayed for boldness. I want you to pay attention here on verse 29. They didn't pray for safety, that they may be spared or protected from the persecution from the Sadducees and the religious leaders. They didn't pray for deliverance. They didn't pray for wisdom, which would have been appropriate given the circumstances that they're facing. Instead, they asked for boldness. What is boldness? I believe boldness is the sheer courage, the determination to do whatever it takes. And in for this particular task, they're praying for boldness to continue to share the gospel, as what verse 29 says. Note here that they also asked God to show God's power through them, to empower them and confirm the gospel of Jesus. For them, boldness in Christ is not about arrogance, but rather trusting, surrendering to the might and to the sovereignty of God, taking courage so that they can remain faithful to Him. I think Peter and John and the Acts of the church in Acts are teaching us how to pray here. Maybe perhaps we should stop praying just for relief in our trials and instead pray for faithfulness. Amen? Maybe we should ask God not just to make our lives easier, but to make us bolder, make us stronger to endure. And last but not the least, after they prayed the prayer for boldness, what happened on verse 31 there? God responded immediately. Luke described in verse 31 that the place where they were gathered was what? They were shaken. And according to scripture, the shaking of the place was a visible sign of God's power and presence and promise to be with His people. And when that place was shaken, all were filled with Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Verse 31. Friends, as we prepare ourselves to come to the Lord's table, the word of God teaches us about a church that is under tremendous pressure. They are in the face of persecution, but they're not giving up. Their best weapon was to submit themselves to the will of God. Their best weapon was to pray together. Their foundation was God's sovereignty, and their request was for boldness. And God answered their prayers. May we be like an Acts church that claimed the power of praying together for boldness and for God to show His power to them and speak His word. Let us pray. Holy God, as we prepare ourselves to gather in your holy table, may we be like Peter and John, who returned to their people, who did not isolate themselves, but rather claimed the importance of being together, of being a church. And they prayed for boldness, boldness to speak out their faith in the name of Jesus. May we do so when we pray together today, Lord, and every day of our lives. For we know, Lord, that you will respond to our prayers, just like what you did with Peter and John. May we be like an Acts church that claimed the power of praying together for boldness. And may we do so now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Will you join me in the great thanksgiving? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet, through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus invites us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one in Christ. Because there is one cup, we who are many are one in Christ. Christ broken for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. This holy feast is God's feast. We are invited to God's table, not because we deserve to be at the table, but because of God's overwhelming and overflowing love for us. We're going to extend this first to our pianist, and then we're going to open this to the rest of our gathered community. Christ broken for you, Miss Janet. Come, the table is now ready. Broken for you. There will the body of Christ broken for you. This joy is the body of Christ broken for you. This joy is the body of Christ broken for you. like the body of Christ broken for you. Jamie, the body of Christ broken for you. Miss Anne, the body of Christ broken for you. John, the body of Christ broken for you. Scott, the body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you, Mama Lynn. Miss Faye, the body of Christ broken for you. Miss Roxy, the body of Christ broken for you. Jamie, the body of Christ broken for you. Miss Donald Rose, the body of Christ broken for you. Would you join with me for this prayer? Pentecost Spirit, take our hearts and set them on fire. Take our lives and transform them. Take our church and resurrect it with your life-giving Spirit. Take us and use us for the fulfillment of your vision of peace and unity. Amen. Our last hymn is found on hymn number 715. If you're able, I invite us all to join our voices together. The Bible invites us to pray for boldness, to pray that God will give us the courage to testify the resurrected Christ, the same as it did with Peter and John. The Bible also calls us to reclaim the power of praying together, that if we come together in prayer, God will continue to unleash His power through us. May we reclaim that in our own prayer life as we seek the Lord's guidance, as He gives us the boldness and courage to share Jesus in many places so that we can be able to be His instrument. Go forth in the name of the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.